Good morning. Welcome to our Live Talk program. This is Lloyd Grubb here, your host on Revive Reform Radio, doing our Live Talk program covering wisdom for living on this year, Friday morning. Rise and shine and give God the glory. And this morning, I'm looking at the topic, cry out for deliverance. Do not just sit there and suffer. So welcome again. Hopefully, you had a blessed night. Rest and ready to take on the challenges of this day. Thanks for dropping by here with me, top of the morning. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, I thank you for your word. I thank you, dear Lord, for the way you continue to guide us along with the wisdom from your word, prophecy, and the stories that give us guidance and wisdom how to make right choices, dear Lord, that we might be blessed and not cursed. May you be with us, dear Lord, that we might honor thee with all that we do and say. This is what my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm looking at this topic. Cry out for deliverance. Do not just sit there and suffer. So I'm closing off my thought for this week here, which is often the children of Israel got themselves into an oppressive situation. They would cry out, then God would deliver them. A key factor of deliverance from oppression is to cry out. Are you crying out for deliverance or are you good? So we often you see somebody in a very oppressive or depressing situation that either somebody put them there or they got themselves there and they sit there and not do anything about it. And so we don't want to be in that type of mindset. So our key text for this week is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 through 8. It says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend thee. So I'll comment there firstly here that one thing I know is God hears the cry of all those who suffer. If they will cry to God, that means there's an element there that they must have faith in God, believe in God, believe that God can deliver them. So a lot of time when we talk about this thing, we're talking about those who are actual believers and are actual Christians to believe that they could cry. But then again, I still believe that the Lord hears the cry of those who suffer and mark those who cause the suffering. And God is a God that renders judgment and vengeance for all those who suffer. And yet in a unique way, those who believe in God, follow God, they are what I would say is probably a particular target here, because it's those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus is a particular that God hears the prayer of the righteous. And words like these make sense, talks like these make sense, because we are going to cry because God promises that he'll bless us and he'll never forsake us. And his ears is attentive to our cry. So hence he says in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So there has to be a level of faith to believe that God is in charge still, though the wicked people in the church and outside the church are so much that one has to believe that when one is in trouble, that God knows before what trouble you're going to either get yourself into or wicked people are going to get you into. And then you got to ask, you got to seek, you got to be an active participant in your own deliverance, and you got to knock, believing that God is going to open doors for you. Verse 8 says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So it's a definite promise and a definitive. And so far, so good, as they say, knocking wood, God has come through with his promises. And so we want to keep being faithful and we want to keep being active. We want to keep praying, keep seeking, keep knocking. Because again, sometimes we make bad choices. And then sometimes it's others doing nefarious things to cause harm to us. So we keep praying, we keep seeking, and we keep asking. So we're active. So our main focus for today that is connected to the topic is do not just sit in a suffering, oppressive state. That's very important. Don't just sit there. Too often, as I say, my encouragement for this week, too often here, we sit in an oppressive state and accept pain, suffering, a bad condition, bad communities, bad whatever, and we don't do nothing. We always have to be praying, actively working, and we have to be finding, knocking doors. Because predators, oppressors, and wicked people want you to do nothing and to keep quiet. Over the years, I've noticed every time I dealt with a predator, every time I dealt with a wicked person, oppressive person, they don't like it. They don't want you to say nothing because they want to do their wickedness. And they don't want to get no complaints. They want to get nothing. See, one thing you must know is that why you have to be active is that when you go to God, whatever oppressive situation you're in, He'll hear your prayer. But when you're dealing with wicked people, they don't want to hear your prayer, so to speak, or your prayers that you're asking. You're complaining. You're making your request be made known that I have a problem with this. And wicked people don't want to hear that because they want to keep oppressing because they're benefiting like Pharaoh from your oppression. So then you have to add to that, you have to be actively seeking solutions for your problem and actively working for your own problem by knocking doors. You have to assume, man, one of these doors of escape is available and I'm going to knock and knock until, okay, I find one. Somebody open and say, I'm going to let you out. All right? So it's always important to note that the oppressor is benefiting either by just being wicked and take pleasure in your suffering, or he's actively benefiting financially or some other way, socially, from your suffering. So you go to God because you're suffering. You know that God is gracious and kind and merciful. So you go to God. He said, God, I need relief. The predator not going to want relief. I think that's a problem we see in America. And we see the world over, that often we're going to the predator, the oppressor, the wicked, and asking them to give us things like civil rights and treat us right. But they're benefiting financially from our oppression. They're benefiting from all the wars and destruction that they're causing. And so it's hard for them to say, listen, if I take my foot off your neck, I might not benefit them. A lot of times it's not that they're hungry. It's just they're wicked. They're not doing it because they need food. They're doing it because they're just wicked. They're lazy and wicked. So you have to understand that with all oppressors. And so you got to know you're crying to God. You got to know you're seeking a solution from God. Even you're seeking, you're looking for God to make the solution appear. And when you're not, God will answer. So cry out even if you made bad choices that made you vulnerable to the wicked. So there's times when you have to just cry out. It's like, I made this choice. Too often I see a person say, I made bad choices. Yeah, remember, the difference between all false religion, all paganism, and Christianity, the difference between what the Bible teaches and how God works, is that God will be merciful to you, gracious to you, kind to you, in spite of your bad choices. There will always be consequences, but the whole reason you're praying is because you're suffering a consequence. And so you still say, God, be merciful. And no matter how extreme your wrongs have done, you could be a person that had murdered a whole family and kill everybody. You still approach God and say, God, you're merciful. You're kind. And so I want you to show me some mercy. Mercy doesn't mean that you get out of prison. Mercy doesn't mean that you even escape death row, if that's what you're on. Mercy just simply means that God will bless you. God will give you graces, because oftentimes a person in that situation, their heart is corrupt. And the biggest grace they need is not freedom or life, so to speak. What they need is removal of that guilt, a change heart, so that God can soften the heart. That's the biggest blessing that humanity can get. We're all going to die one day anyhow. So, you know, we're never going to live forever. Even if we get healing from our disease, we're never going to live. So you could, same thing with disease. You could make a bad choice. This is what I want to talk about, the wisdom for this today. You could make bad choices that have gotten you, land you into a disease. And you still know that even with your bad choice, God could free you from that disease state. God could heal you and can heal you from that disease state. And if you didn't get even 100% healing, you could get some relief. Or you could get some peace of mind, or you could get a better outcome. And so you still cry and say, God, the pain is too much. I need some relief. Show me, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to take? what new lifestyle practices I'm supposed to do. And you go to God and you pray. And then after you pray, you start to seek. You're active. You're active on why you're searching. You pray. You even pray for a Google search if necessary. Say, God, show me. Lead me to the right solutions. Somebody said, but I made a bad choice. See, in other religions, like say, I think it is would be Buddhism or some of those other religions, but the karma religions, so it would be Hinduism. It is choice. They say it's based upon choices you made in the past life that you're having a bad experience. Christianity don't work like that. Christianity works, true Christianity, not the fake Christianity that we see mostly out there, is that when you repent and you have forgiveness from God, that God doesn't say, well, you made your bed hard, you're going to lie in it. God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to even take your curses and turn it into a blessing. You can find it in the story of Levi. He's cursed as a tribe. And then God didn't change the curse. He just turned the curse into a blessing. Or just he almost circumnavigated his own curse while the curse remained. The curse was they were going to be scattered because of their wickedness. So that was their punishment. Then God says, well, you're already scattered, right? You'll be the Levi for all the tribes. You're already scattered amongst them anyhow. And the curse was never lifted. The punishment still remained, but now he blessed them within that punishment. And that's how merciful God is, that God can make the punishment remain, but the punishment became a blessing to the whole of Israel, because this was one of the tribes now that was scattered amongst them. They didn't have their stayed land, their tribal territory, but now they were able to live amongst all the tribe as ministered. Just, you know, you talk about, people always say this thing that God take a setback and you know, and turn it into a comeback. It's that type of idea. So because we know this is the whole concept of God and concept of even nature, you know, you've seen situation where out of the ashes of a fire, out of the ashes of a volcano, whatever it is, something new comes, life comes out of it. And we see the principle in nature that this is just the way God is. So we actively, we ask, we seek, and we knock, because God, I know you're merciful. I know God, even the Bible says, we repent of the evil. That's beyond evil, changing a curse into a blessing. You would say, listen, I'm going to curse this person. And you pray, and God said, I repent of it. I'm going to bless you. Very fascinating. God repent of the things he do, not as a sin, but just as something that he says, you deserve enough a beat down. And the great judge of the earth can still say, I'm going to change that beat down because you pray to me. You can see this in court systems, that oftentimes a person will fight to the death to maintain their innocence while all the evidence shows that they're guilty. Instead of acknowledging their guilt and pleading for mercy, they fight and they still get the same time and they still go down as a criminal that never even repented. So human beings are made in the image of God, and sometimes we have to even act this way when we're dealing with any problem. That sometimes, I think most of the time, it's better to acknowledge one's guilt, if not all the time. So cry out. I say most of the time because there's some human beings, they're very punishing no matter what you do. I've learned that the hard way. So cry out to God, even you make bad choices. And it's put you in a vulnerable situation now where the wicked can do you harm. Because a wicked person just hate and they're going to do you harm if they get the opportunity. So somebody said, what are you talking about? Listen, if you're in a situation where you're using payday loan, you need to cry out to God. Because the wicked now, they have you over a barrel and they're going to abuse you. If you're in that vulnerable situation where you don't even have enough money to have a checking account, you don't sit there in that poverty. You cry to God and say, God, I need relief. I need a blessing. And then you start to actively seek for the blessing. You start actively knock because I'm looking to make more money. I'm not going to stay here in this poverty. And you become an active participant in your solution while praying that God open these doors that you're knocking, that God make a way for you as you seek. You actively participate in your solution. Whatever the solution is, socially, spiritually, if you're in a church and you feel like this whole church is going to hell in a basket, just sit there. Start praying to God. God, I want deliverance. God will hear your prayer. And then secondly, you start to seek. And then thirdly, you start to knock some doors. God will open up a way. Remember, as I say, the difference between our understanding of God is different from the Greek pantheon, is different from Buddhism, is different from all these other religions. We believe that, you know, different from even Muslims. Muslims believe that their religion is about their vengeance. They are the vengeance. We believe, as the Bible teaches, that God is the avenger. We're not the avenger. We're not into the Marvel comics and all these other comics. The vengeance is mine. Now, there's things that the authority need to do, but we don't need no mutants to take up any arms for us. We need God, or we go through the authority. So we do this, and because Christianity teaches us that God is very merciful. And remember, God is against, which is another major point I'm going to talk about this morning here. God is against your oppressor. This is one of the very important things. So no matter how you did something wrong, you get yourself into a vulnerable situation, God is against your oppressor. See, a person that does like payday loan, or a mafia that's doing exorbitant loan, or a banker that's lending money at usury, and you go borrow from them, while you pray still for deliverance, you still have to remember, God is against any usurer when you're talking about debts. God is against the oppressor of the poor. It doesn't matter what the poor is, Christian or whatever. God is against them. Nothing is against them. God is working for their own defeat, and God wants them to repent like you have repented. So if you get yourself into any of those situations, remember, yeah, you made a bad choice. I agree. Acknowledge your bad choice. You got to acknowledge that you made a bad choice. But you pray to God and say, God, deliver me. God wants to deliver you, because God is not for those people anyhow. And if you're in an oppressive situation, remember again, God wants your deliverance. And your oppressive situation that you're in, even if you yourself get yourself into it, or you just found yourself into it, God doesn't want you to suffer. And we approach life, and that's, to me, the concept of faith and the wisdom for living here. Notice here, just some quick text, and I'm going to go to some points. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. And we see, I'm going to give you some examples of this in the Bible, just to solidify the thought in your mind. Notice Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. So remember the story of Abraham, that Abraham was told that children of Israel was going to be strangers in a strange land for 400 years. So they were told that. So God knew. And God knew when it was time for them to be delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. God knew when it was time when the Egyptians were going to start persecute them or oppress them. The reason why they went into Egypt is because of their forefathers' wickedness. It wasn't their wickedness, but it was the forefathers' wickedness. But God turned the wickedness of the forefathers against Joseph and other things they were doing into a blessing. But in the process of time, it became a curse, and they find themselves in sore bondage and sore work. But they cried, and the cry came up unto God, because it was a cry for the reason of their bondage. It was oppression put upon them. But remember, you know the story how it ends, that ultimately God took out the Pharaoh. So when you understand that, you understand that God is for his people. God is for those who are oppressed. God is working to bless those who are needy. And so don't just sit there. Say, God, claim his promises. Say, God, you promised us. You'll bless us. You'll never forsake us. We have committed to you, and you've committed to your people. And we're asking you to keep your covenant promise to us to bless us. So when we see evil men doing certain things in the society, it is okay for us to cry out to God and say, God, you see what they're doing. And you promise that your vengeance is yours and you'll repay evildoers. And we ask you to keep your covenant. Very important. So we see what they're doing and we see their constant work to try to oppress and try to destroy. And so we pray. And God says, listen, I will not allow the winds of strife to blow on my people until they're sealed. And we see that the winds of strife is trying to oppress us with their oppressive ways that they've been doing for thousands of years. And so we pray because we want them to fail. We want God to take care of it because he promised us, because we can't do anything about it. So by reason of their bondage, notice verse 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, and with Isaac, and with Jacob. So they're groaning, but they had something to hold on to, and that is that they made a promise to God. They put their lives into God's hand. Even though after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they made bad choices, but they still could say, God, I know we sinned and we have fallen short of the glory, but you promised us. And so you still cry out. And I believe even on a secular note that some people have made a mistake thinking that, you know, one should not probably be email, text. I don't know if you can text, but email, call your congressperson, your senators. Because they promised to serve the public and they promised to keep the Constitution. And that's part of the reality. It is still something to say that at the end of the day, no matter what you do in the society, the police, which is mostly the tip of the spear for evil many a time in a society, take away a constitutional right, actually did swear to keep the Constitution. But you notice how quickly, if they're in disagreement and they agreement with a despot, it is always the military and the police that are the first to take away your constitutional rights. But still, beyond them, there's a God, so you cry. Verse 25, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So this concept here to me, there's Pharaoh and there's the children of Israel. There's the Egyptians. You know, it's a difficult thing because it's at the end of the day, when it came down to it, it's Egyptians and Pharaoh and the Hebrews. And it's tough, but oftentimes groups of people have given over themselves to the devil, to be worked by the devil, to oppress God's people. And they have a specific name, and there's a specific group and a specific country. And that's the sad reality. It's one of the toughest things to deal with. But in same thing, sometimes you deal with people personally. Sometimes you realize you deal with a person. They're just wicked. And it's just the reality. Now, they might find Jesus later on, but at the current time you're dealing with them, there's no other way to look at them and say, this person is just a wicked oppressor. They just want to oppress people and beat people up. It is the reality. Now, in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13, it says here, whoso stoppeth his ears from the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. So this is getting very definitive now, because somebody could say, well, all I have to do is just accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I could believe in all the foolishness I want to believe in and do all the wicked and then oppress people. And because remember I said now, you're committed to Jesus. There's a lot of people committed to Jesus and they're wicked. So no. Mm-mm. Here the Bible is again specific, just three-dimensional teaching here. Whoso stoppeth his ear of the cry of the poor. It doesn't matter who the person is. Pharaoh stopped his ears from hearing the cry of the poor. But remember now, often in Israel, the oppressor was one of their own. Most of their troubles came from internal. The external trouble normally manifests itself after the internal foes have destroyed and weakened the nation. So it's important to know that, yeah, there's people who are Christians, but they're oppressive. Some of the worst people I've dealt with throughout my years in this world were people actually went to church, went to the same church often that I went to. Very wicked and oppressive. And they were not for the poor. That was one of their mark. The mark of wickedness is always they're against the poor. Remember Saddam, what's Saddam known for? Normally homosexuality and being rapists. Those are the two things, rapists, homosexuals. But when you read other parts in the Bible, you find out that it's very clear that they were lazy and oppressive and they didn't strengthen the hand of the poor. Poor suffered under their leadership. So that's one of the key things that you can know wicked people. Not by what they say, because there's a lot of wicked people you can go online and see that they say Jesus more often than I say the word Jesus. But one thing I can say is consistent with them. They're perverted all the time sexually. They oppress people. They're lazy. And they does not strengthen the hand of the poor. Their main aim is to make sure the poor get nothing. Just think about who in our society is consistent. And most of them, they're conservative religious people. They're consistently against anything to do with any change to help nature or to make sure you don't destroy nature. They all have the same platform. The wicked and those who, well, it is the same platform. They're against anything to do with natural change. They're against any social justice. They're against any poor, anything to do with poverty. You know, remember when the president came to power and is with backing by his conservative evangelicals. The first thing they did to get rid of Meals on Wheels. There's a telltale sign that these people are working for the devil. It's very important to note. But somebody said, but they say Christianity all the time. Yeah, this is talk. They're against anything to do with insurance for poor people, so they want to get rid of Obamacare. You can just go down the list, and somebody could miss it. Say, wait a minute, everything they do, they seem to be against the poor. And they're against the cry of the poor. And they're actually working like Pharaoh and like despots the world over. But don't they say they're Christian? Yeah, just think about the Dark Ages. What is the Dark Ages? It was those who, there's two groups of Christians. There's Christians that are fleeing from another set of Christians or oppressing the poor and causing darkness. But most people could miss it. They could say, wait a minute, there are two sets of Christians? Yeah, in the Dark Ages, there was always two sets. There was the remnant or the minority, and then there was the majority who were just doing the work of the devil. And it was the demonic church. But you could always get this. When Christ was on the earth, there were two sets of Christians, so to speak, or two sets of God-fearing people. There were those who follow Christ, the humble people. And there was the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the liberals and the conservatives, and their followers. And today you have the liberals and conservatives in the church. So whosoever, it doesn't say, oh, is the person serve God or not, that they claim the name of God. Remember, this is written by people who are religious. Israel was a religious nation. So what's the point of this if they're religious? No, it's saying, listen, they're all religious and they all serve God. But whosoever stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry, but shall not be heard. So this is what I try to teach here, because often when we talk about oppressors, it can easily, this is why I'm, you know, I'm not, might not be so always so gung-ho for like when black people protest about police shooting and stuff like that. I don't talk much about that. Talk somewhat about it, but not too much. You might never wonder why, but one of the reasons why is because, number one, I believe in praying. And I believe God comes through when people are wicked like that. But also I believe that we sometimes forget that this has been going on for a while and God has been whipping the buttocks of those who are doing this type of wickedness. Because God is still working. And oftentimes I believe that we are too active in just protesting and praying. We're not active in taking control of what we can take control of. There are things that we need to actively do that is not being done because, and I'm going to deal with it in a few seconds, because we seem to think that the people shooting us in the street, they're going to ever do right when they never did. They just never did. And there's a certain point where after 400 years, I don't think Pharaoh is going to ever do right. I think we're going to close this out and he's never going to do right. And if the Egyptians, the Hebrews, I think they were in the same similar struggle and mindset. I think part of the problem with the Hebrews, why they probably wasn't even praying properly enough at one point, is that, you know, remember when after they left Egypt, they were so messed up that they wanted to go back to Egypt to get back to the flesh part because they had a little struggle. So you could see that probably at year number 370, they still wasn't ready to get freedom from the oppressors. And I think a lot of time when you look at what's going on in society, and this probably is a tough thing to analyze, that even the people getting shot, they're still not fully convinced. And so you got to watch them. Almost the heat need to turn up a little bit more. Because what more you want? You've been enslaved. You've been Jim Crow, segregated, war on drugs. Everything, prison industrial complex, everything been just crushing on you. And you still seem to feel like your oppressor is going to do you right. You're dreaming. So, who's ever stopped at the ear? From the cry of the poor, he shall cry himself. One thing I think I've missed here, what I was trying to say, is that God has been taking care of business. And those who are oppressing, they've been crying. But you could so caught up into just looking at the bad man over here doing bad things to poor people and minorities that you're not looking at and say, wait a minute, is the bad man suffering? And that's what I've been teaching, trying to show. Yeah, the bad man is suffering also, right? Because if you foment certain environment, it backfires. And 2 days ago, we saw that, you see, they're encouraging crazy people, and the crazy people almost overrun them. And that's part of the he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. So you have to laugh and say, this is actually a joke, comical. Because they're angry. To me, you know, I saw people say, oh, I'm sad. I'm like, sad? You need to go read your Bible. You can't encourage evil, because evil come at your door. And this is what people are missing. This is the wisdom for living. Because God is against them, all of them. All of them, they're wrapping themselves up in flag. God's against them because they want to see us back in plantations. They want to see us oppressed. They want to see police shoot us in the street. Those same police. Notice something here that's important. A side note. This is where normally we lose people that listening that they can't take solid meat. Notice here, after the George Floyd shooting, what did the police do? They allowed the death rate to go up. What does that tell you about the police? In almost all cities across America, there's almost like they pull back policing and they just allow the evildoers to run wild, right? Murdering people, you see the death rate, the murder rate, the homicide rate went up in multiple cities. So that's why most of the effort should be, we need to police ourselves. We need to get our young men and stuff in that force and stuff like that. Because notice what they do, they'll sabotage. They'll say, oh yeah, you don't want us to shoot you and murder you like what we've been doing for how much 100 years? We're going to pull back and we're going to allow you to murder each other. So part of the thing is that the cry from most of these leaders supposed to be local at first. We need to start policing ourselves instead of killing ourselves. We need to start doing businesses, entrepreneurship, churches, that to bless our own people. But they're doing it wrong. And you see, the Hebrews also was in that mindset. Remember, if you know, it wasn't the right way. But when Moses said, I'm here to deliver, they said, who put you over us? Oh, so you want Pharaoh still. So you want Pharaoh, you get Pharaoh. So that's why we have, you know, I watch what's going on to a certain degree, because many of them are in joke. But if you notice, you look at some of the stats in Oregon, New York City, stuff like that. Those police, they're like, pull back, let them kill each other like dogs. They're not there to protect you. They're there to protect themselves and collect a paycheck and a retirement off you. But one have to understand, that's a side note, that's a extra there. So you look at those stats, you'll be surprised. But I could see it. I saw it. But most people don't see what's going on. Because, listen, they don't protect you. They're protecting themselves. Notice what happened yesterday, 2 days ago. The police pull back and make the Congress get it. They could have murdered these people in the Congress. Because why? Oh, the man not getting in power, and you know, you they voted out the white supremacy, and there's a minority that did it, or part of the reason. So they're like, let them have it. They don't care. They're like, happy. Come and take over this place, right? You play with evil, you get burned. And so, but here's the thing. See those police and those people doing that? God sees what they do. And you need to cry to God and say, oh, they're allowing evildoers to overrun us? While they invest in the rap music and the hip-hop music and making sure that they flood our communities with drugs and have these crazy black guys doing all this thing to us. So we watch. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 through 11. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 through 11. Notice here, if there be among you a poor man of any of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his needs in that which he wanted. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year of release is at hand, and thine eyes be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. So here's a scenario. Because you see, we all in the same community. So he says, listen, if you see somebody poor and suffering, it's your brother. Are you going to watch your brother poor and suffering? But remember, if you have a philosophy that that person's not your brother, that person is not even a human being, then you've created a philosophy that tells you that that man's suffering doesn't matter because that man is not your brother. But here God says, if you're in the same country and it's your brother, you bless your brother, right? Because if your brother is not being blessed and he cried and he saw a cry to me, he says, I must see to sin. Now, sin, the Bible says, is a transgression of God's law. But here, the Bible broadened that definition and say, you've seen your brother suffer and he's crying and you don't help him and you don't let him sufficient. You don't say, man, you're suffering, man, here you go. God says, I look at this as sin. Now, this is a very broad definition. I know you could meditate upon the commandment and probably pull it out of it. But this is very specific. You see people suffering. I'm not talking about a grown man who is on drugs. And he's there and he's not working or anything like that. A person that is poor for genuine reason. You lend him sufficient. But imagine there's a group of people in our society, their only aim is to not do this. And God says, sin to them and I'm going to punish them. So notice here, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved. Notice he first said, your wicked heart. Remember, he's talking to people who are supposed to be religious, right? And they could be grieved, pain them to give somebody. You shall not be grieved when thou givest him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all thou puttest thy hand to. So we see a little curse in the society. It's because of all the wickedness. There's a lot of suffering in Brazil. And they put in this conservative evildoer. Same thing in Italy. There's a lot of poor people. And they put in foreigners. And they put in another evil conservative. That's working also. They're over there in Italy right now. Working to overthrow the American election. That's what they're doing. They're still trying to stop that. Because they want a current evildoer there that endorse their philosophy. So you look it up in the news, that's what they're over there trying to figure out. See, so this is the type of stuff going on. And he says, listen, don't harden your heart against this man. Don't be grieved. But they're grieved. And if you don't do this, then God will curse your system. And the West, according to somebody that said recently, somebody from the West, from Britain, was saying, I was watching it, and said, man, the West have had a hard year. And if you see coronavirus just breaking on the record, yesterday, it's getting harder because they have made in their mind that they cannot and will not help the poor, poor white, poor black, poor nobody. They're against the poor. So notice here, this is the wisdom here. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee. Now, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. It's a command. I'm telling you to do this. And he said, if you don't do it, it's sin. So here you have the two elements of what is sin. Sin is a transgression of God's law. What is God's law? What's God's command? Here God says, I command thee, and it's going to be sin. Very fascinating concept. Because most people say, unless it's had something to do with stealing and lying, it's not sin. Very interesting. Notice here, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. Somebody say, oh, what if they're here illegal? Well, you take that up with God. God doesn't recognize international boundaries and national boundaries. Not like that. God just simply say, listen, yeah, you worry about that. I'm going to tell you, your brother. So somebody say, the blacks in America, they're not my brother. Really? Okay, so you say the poor. Oh, the poor. Okay, you couldn't be a Christian and ignore this. How about the needy? And if they're in the land, they're here. You figure that out. Because they come with all kind of mental gymnastic to not be a Christian. In Revelation 6 verse 9, Revelation 6 verse 9 and 10. And when he had opened the 50. If you're in a poor situation, a needy situation, just to clarify that point. Don't just sit there and suffer. Cry to God. If you see, we're in a society where the main aim is to oppress the poor, cry to God. No matter who you are, no matter how bad you got yourself in a situation, you still cry to God. Somebody said, what if I'm in a land illegally? Cry to God against the wickedness of the people of the money. What if I'm in the land and my brother? Cry to God. If you're a white brother and you're suffering poor, cry to God. But while you cry, remember, you actively start seeking and you start knocking, but still cry. God will hear and God will deal with and punish those who are doing this. What if you're in the land and you're just poor? Cry. You need to cry. What if you made some bad choices? Still cry. God will hear you. God know you made the bad choices, but God want you to cry to him. God hear the cry and you just cry. No matter what the choices you made. And if they put you there, cry even more. God will hear. And I'm telling you, my belief is God is hearing the cry of the poor. Notice here in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, souls of them were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had, or which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So even when they died, they're still crying. Because remember, it's the Bible that teaches us that we serve God, that vengeance is his. So we cry against the evildoers. Even if people don't like it, people say, why are you crying for that? Because God told me to cry. God told me that says he's going to take care of the business. God told me that I don't need to take care of it. I need you to seek for blessing and freedom and for a way of escape from what the evildoers are planning to do down there. And then I need to cry. So we cry. Because here now they didn't do anything wrong. Here the oppressors, this is as particularly taken focus prophetically in the dark ages when the Catholic Church was using the militaries of Western European tribes. You know, we're talking about France, England, Germany, Spain, Portugal, so forth, to murder them and chase them all over the place. And the true Christians had to find themselves running from the civil government and the fake Christians in Italy. So what happened? We cry. And they're even when they die, they're still crying up to God. God said, I'm going to take care of them. And God has been taking care of it. We don't forget that the history has been a bloodbath in Europe. And we see that it was plague, pestilence, war, famine. And we see this is going on, pure disasters. Why? Because God said to cry, and God said, I'll take care of it. They did wrong, but I settle scores. See, we believe the Bible, how God says, he settled a score, and we can show you historically. We've showed you here, and we show you currently that God's settling scores with these wicked people. That's what it is. So we cry. That's what it is. So Matthew chapter 9 again, verse 30, Matthew chapter 9, verse 32 through 36. We see here again, as I encourage you, no matter what the situation is, God don't want you to be in a oppressive state. Notice here, as they went out, behold, they brought him, a dumb man possessed with a devil. Now, it doesn't say how he got possessed with the devil. This could be his own bad choice. He probably could have done some Satan worship, some devil worship, some whatever. But now he has a devil. What? You going to sit there? No, you need healing. Now, how he got the devil, we don't know. But the devil is upon him. And so if you have a devil upon you, you need healing. You need lifting of that affliction, that oppression, that oppressive state that you're in. You need healing, and God will heal you. This is showing you that the people always say the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is different. No, when you read the Bible, there's hardly any God, you know, time when God strikes somebody down dead. You know, it's a blown up concept. People embellish that reality. There's examples of God striking somebody immediately down, but very few. And it always has something to do with worship. And somebody that ought to know better in worship. A very rare situation. Even Pharaoh had plenty of time to repent, plenty of time. The God in the Old Testament was and is merciful. He actually told Moses, I'm very merciful. And you notice the way he dealt with Pharaoh, very merciful. The children of Israel, very merciful in their waywardness. So you cry out for deliverance. God will deliver. So here God showing you how he is. He doesn't tell you how. He doesn't ask any questions. Say, hey man, what you do? Christ does heal. When the person was dumb in another situation, or when it was blind, and they said, who sinned? Christ said, no, it's just for the glory of God to be seen. No matter who sinned, how you got here, you just in a bad situation, and you know that God is merciful. That's all you need to know. There's more you need to know about God, but that's all you need to know right now for this discussion. And you cry, no matter what it is. Somebody doing it to you. You did it to yourself. It's just life. Life sometimes is just a mess. You know, you have aches and pains. Cry to God and actively seek to relieve yourself of the aches and pains. So verse 33 says, and when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Praise the Lord. That's what God wanted for us. God wanted to deliver us. Whatever trouble we are going to face in the future, God wants us to be delivered from it. And God wants us to believe that he's the God that delivers. He's the God that redeems. So we move with faith. Whatever your situation. So somebody said, well, I did this to myself. It don't matter. It don't matter you did it to yourself. We all did it to ourselves. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all being inglorious children. Notice here. But the Pharisees said, he cast out devil through the prince of the devils. So understand, the Pharisees, which was the religious conservatives, they don't want you to be free from your troubles. They want to keep you in that state. The Pharisees was upset. They were not focused on the fact that the person relief. They were just focused on, oh, it must be, you know, the bad mind, the covetous, the jealous of Jesus. It must be, oh, it's because it must be the devil. Like, who cares at this point, right? Like, why that statement for? And you see, remember, there's people who, when you're progressing, come on now, when you're being blessed, when you're not in the oppressive state, they upset. And it just so happened in this situation, they're conservatives. So you cry. And you work and you actively understand that there's people that if you're not somewhere in Guantanamo Bay, probably being tortured, if you're not somewhere on a hospital bed suffering, on a sick bed suffering, in a laser house suffering, if you're not on a plantation or behind bars for a little bit of marijuana, they're not happy. And that's the reality. That's the sad reality. But how else am I going to say this? The Pharisees were not happy for the man to have the devils cast out of him. And you're going to understand we live amongst Pharisees in all ages that they're not going to be happy. You're doing well for yourself. God is blessing you. You have a job. You're making some money. You can buy the things you need in life. There's people out there, they're not happy. They want it for themselves and they want you to suffer. But God doesn't want you to suffer. God wants you to progress and to live good life. They want to bring back these oppressive ways upon us. So we cry out I would say, God, let them fail. Because you promise you keep back the winds of strife until we're sealed. And after we're sealed, well, all hell can break loose, so to speak. So you keep praying. So notice here, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. So we pause there. So the people were in ignorance. The Pharisees was in charge and the Sadducees, and they did nothing about it. And even you look, even sometimes when you look at minority communities, and as an example, because they're very vocal right now, the black community, their Pharisees and Sadducees are keeping them in ignorance. If you look at the death rate, even by COVID, ignorance. Most of that death is ignorance. They do everything to keep these people, the educational system, the leaders in the black community have never worked to address the problem. The oppressive educational system that has been put upon by the American government, they never addressed it. So they leave the people in ignorance. So Christ here said, look, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to teach the people. That's why we do what we do here. We believe in education and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, because the people need salvation. No matter what your sin is, Christ says, listen, I want to save you. And the healing every sick and every disease among the people, there has not been a mobilization to address the issues of deficiency in things like vitamin D especially, and zinc and other things in the black community, and in all communities of poor people. And we need to do something to make sure, by God's grace, nobody listening to me here is deficient in things like zinc and vitamin C. Not in this time, not in this season of winter. Nowhere in the world should that be. But if you are, you're just ignorant. It's not about choice, it's about ignorance. So Christ healed all sick. Notice here, Christ was about making sure that the people are not suffering under oppressive condition. You are not supposed to sit in an oppressive condition. You cry to the same Jesus that healed 2,000 years ago. You cry to him. He don't want you to suffer. And then you actively go and start to seek relief. And you actively start knocking some doors. God will heal you. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Now, this is a different stage here now. And he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So even though they had leaders that were supposed to be spiritual leaders, they were still like sheep without shepherd. They had shepherd, but they were fake shepherd. And God still was moved with compassion that they're not supposed to suffer. It is not God's intention in any way, shape, and form for you to suffer. For you to be confused. For you to be taken captive by conspiracy theorists. It is not God's intention, no matter what sin is upon you. Even if you have a criminal mindset, God wants you to be free from that. Even if it's something that was inherited or you develop it by yourself, God will want to be free. Whatever it is, if it's sin, if it's bad health, if it is a social problem, if it's an injustice problem, God does not want you to be in that condition. But because of the way God works, God doesn't force an entrance. And God doesn't even force a blessing. God says you need to ask. Because you need to show that you're not a pig, that you're going to appreciate the deliverance. Because notice what was the problem with the children of Israel. Oftentimes they act as if they didn't appreciate the deliverance. And they kept on going backwards. They wanted to go back to oppression. They were acting like a swine that returned to her vomit, or a dog that will eat its own feces. And God doesn't want us to be like that. God wants us to say, listen, I have enough pain, Jesus. Deliver me and I'll appreciate it. I don't want to be a pig. I'm not going to be a swine. And when you get into that position, it's going to be right. Now, sometimes it seems like the pain has to get to a certain place where sometimes it gets to us to a near-death situation before we really cry out. That's the sad thing about human beings. A human being can take a lot of beating before they say, okay, enough is enough. Okay, God, anything, I'll do anything. I'll commit to you. That's why a lot of the time it's hard for young people to serve God, because they need some whipping first before they get to a point where they say, okay, I'll take deliverance. I'm not going to be a devil anymore. But we got to get into this mindset that, listen, the first sign of pain, hey, God, listen, I'll take a blessing. I'll take a blessing, right? But some people, the whipping is not enough. And you see so many things going on in societies because I guess they're not convinced. They like the flesh part of Egyptians. They like their oppressors too much. So some situations now, as I say, human beings put it upon themselves, or human beings exacerbate the situation, or they're causing it directly. But why we pray, right, is that we know that God is merciful and we're seeking a relief. Now, here's why I'm saying this. Say you're dealing with a disease, like a disease running. You know that disease will take out oppressors and wicked people because they're not in this mindset. They're not actively in a mindset to look for blessing and mercy. So often, this is why I think the oppressed escape. Because the oppressor's in that mindset. They're praying, they're looking for a blessing. And so when trouble comes, like wars, they know to flee. Right? When a pestilence comes, they say, God, deliver. Where's this? You know, you're actively looking. So what happened is general problems come. And, you know, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And so we have an attitude that says, listen, I'm looking for a way of escape. I'm looking for a blessing. The blessing comes because you're active. So that's why we always have to stay hungry, so to speak. We have to stay active looking for blessings. We have to stay active looking for deliverance. Because there's people who all they're looking for is a vaccine, or they just have a prayer, or they just ignore it. They say, oh, there's no such thing. See, we take it active and say, well, we know the Bible said there's going to be plagues and pestilence. So we look for a blessing. We pray for a blessing. We seek a blessing. Others, they're just sitting there and they get whoop, they get taken away, right? So my main takeaway this week here, the wisdom for living, is that you have to be in an active state of being looking for deliverance. You got to be active. This got to be something that you is part of the way you do life. You don't sit there. So as we start the year, you don't sit there in a suffering condition. Whatever the cause of suffering, whatever the thing that's causing oppression, whatever the pain you're feeling, don't just sit there with arthritic pain. There's solutions for it that work. If you have mental fog, don't sit there. There's different minerals you can take. There's different herbs like, you know, ashwagandha and stuff like that you can take. Just don't sit there and say, well, you know, my health is not the best. Okay, you'll not be the first person. There's 7 billion people on the planet. None of us' health is the best. Actively take part in your own deliverance. Actively look for deliverance. Take an attitude that God has a blessing out there for you. God will supernaturally bless you. God will give you a divine appointment. God is in the business of healing and comforting and blessing. Go out and go pray for that blessing. Seek that blessing. Don't sit in an oppressive state. I don't care who oppressing you. I don't care why the person is oppressing you. Don't just sit there in it. Don't just take it. Say, listen, I'm looking for escape. God will make a way of escape. That's my takeaway point. I don't want you to miss this. This year, please, whatever the situation is, pray, seek, act. Know that the God that we serve is going to bless you. And know that part of the way you function in life is this way. You're constantly looking for solutions to your problem. You're constantly praying for solutions to your problem. And I'm going to tell you, you will get the solution. God says, whoever it is will get the solution. But if you're not, then your attitude is like, God says, Jesus says, you're a pig and a swine. We don't want to be pigs and swines. We want to be somebody that we know God is gracious. We ask for grace. We get the grace because he's a God of grace. Let us pray. Our Father, what in heaven, I thank you for the blessings of today, for your word, and for, dear Lord, this mindset, dear Lord, to approach you as a redeemer, to approach you as our friend. We know you love us, dear Father, and you want us to not only repent and confess our sins, but you want us to seek blessings from thee. So we're asking a blessing. I'm asking a blessing this day. Not only on myself, but all those who listen live and those who listen on the podcast. May you be with them, dear Lord, and have their hearts open to thee to come commune with thee and to seek thee with all their heart and all their mind and all their soul. May you bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being with me here on Revive Reform Radio. Looking forward to talking to you again live Monday morning, where we should talk about motivation. Until then, I pray that you may continue to walk with the King.